Hi, I'm Life Coach Mama, a life coach for moms who want to find more joy and more peace in their marriage and in their parenting. My husband and I have 8 kids. We love having a big family and often hear the phrase, "You've got your hands full." Come and join me as I interview moms of all ages and in all stages from around the world. Be encouraged, find inspiration and confidence that you can handle another kid. And if this is a topic that interests you, please check out my book, Have Another Kid Without Losing It, available for purchase today on Amazon by Lauren Loboda. Okay, friends, my friend Anna is back because we could not get it all in one episode, and I doubt we'll get it all in two, but we will try. Can you just give us like a rundown? Okay, let's say I come to you and I want to do NFP. Let's say I'm married and I've been on the pill and I don't want to be on the pill. So what do I do?
So I like I said, it's like a 2.5 hour initial appointment, basically giving them the basics. And then after that initial appointment, we'll meet every 2 weeks for the first 3 months at least, learning new information and going over their chart. But in that first initial intro session, we talk about like the scientific reasons that we do what we do, which is, of course, look at cervical mucus. So that discharge that comes out. I mean, there's all kinds of discharge that comes from your vagina, but some of it is from your cervix. You learn how to tell what that means, when it's coming from your cervix.
So I don't know if people know that, like if they're thinking, when after they talk to you, they go off the pill and then they're just natural. Because I've known people hear about, like, so I'll give a few examples. I had a friend grad school and was learning about how in her science classes that the fish, you know, in the water.
That's like what was happening, but the water around the area, because I went to Franciscan, is so polluted with estrogen that the male fish are becoming hermaphroditic. So like they have both male and female parts and, and hormones. And it's making the fish infertile.
So that's what my friend said, that after her professor said that, and of course it wasn't a religious class and it wasn't anything said by the Catholic Church or any group that was religious, that she had said, she had understood that it was from just women. From just toilet water going into the into the sewers and whatnot.
So like hormones cannot be filtered.
Because so many women are taking the pill that maybe that wasn't the best thing for her body. So there was that story for now. There was another story of a couple we met at a party and the whole group got to talking about natural family planning. So there was a couple of us who used NFP and this other couple that did not. After my friend who's a nurse explained like really in detail what like an IUD does. The wife that was using contraceptives was like, we're done, forget it. Well, then we see them at the next get together a month later and they're like, we're pregnant, it's all your fault. Like, so I think some people think I'm going off the pill now, it's just natural.
Okay.
And you give them what, a calendar? No.
So basically when you're on the pill, you are usually not ovulating. There are breakthrough ovulations that can happen, but you're not ovulating. What kind of tricks people into thinking they are is this bleed that happens at the end of your cycle of pills that was specifically put in there. So like when they were manufacturing the pill, they were like, women are going to feel less natural if they're not, if they don't have a period. So we're going to put in a week of placebo pills to make the body shed its lining just so that the women feel better about it.
Well, how are women getting pregnant then?
Because they're not actually ovulating. It's just causing your body to bleed.
That sounds really manipulative.
Not unhealthy. It's very unhealthy. Yeah, it's very unhealthy.
Well, the fact that they did that, like, how did they get away with that?
And then also because nobody has a proper education, even when you're on the pill, they, you think my body's – actually, when I was on the pill for health reasons, like in high school, and, you know, a dermatologist had me on the pill, I thought that because I was bleeding every month or around every month, that I was sort of maintaining a healthy – menstrual cycle. But that's not what happens. It totally just shuts down your body's processing. Some people have described it as like your body thinks that it's pregnant. in a sense, because right. it's deciding to like, I'm not going to cycle anymore, but it's actually way worse than that. Pregnancy is healthy for your body, and this is not good for your body. And you need to be ovulating a certain, like, I mean, I think minimum 3 times a year, are the studies that they've done to, that are, like, not ovulating every cycle is, or at least a certain number of times a year is, is related to different kinds of cancers and different metabolic issues. So like ovulating and having a period regularly are really, really crucial to like the overall health of a woman. Which a lot of people are finding like, okay, so if I'm shutting that down, not only is there like terrible side effects, but like the main effect is actually really not good for you. So sorry, back to your question. If a woman comes and is getting off the pill, so first of all, she may not have a normal cycle. I mean, minimum 3 to 6 months. I didn't have a cycle for 5 years when I got off the pill. Just my body was not used to doing that. So it didn't, it didn't know how to cycle my hormones. And it's taken a really long time to reteach it how to do that, especially if you're on the pill as an adolescent and your body's trying to learn how to function well, and you shut down a process, it's harder for it to be picked back up. So a lot of women are finding, similarly to the story, is like they're married, they're ready to have kids. And different from that story is that sometimes they're like, okay, I'm ready to have a baby. Let's get off the pill. And then it takes years because their body wasn't functioning correctly. So 3 to 6 months minimum is when we would say like, okay, your body should probably be starting to get back in the groove, understand what it's supposed to be doing, and then start cycling regularly. However, we also, if a couple is ready to conceive right after the pill, we actually suggest waiting 3 to 6 months so that all those extra synthetic hormones are out of her body.
Okay. That makes sense.
There needs to be way more studies about this, but there are some links to like early miscarriage right after the pill because of the synthetic.
Well, that makes sense. It's still in your body.
Yes. So once things are, let's say like things are back to normal, which honestly has not been my experience. Usually people, it takes a little bit of time for them to kind of get back to normal. But once they are, a lot of times she'll start noticing a discharge. And actually, I mean, nobody knows what that is. We should have all learned like when we were in eighth grade, what the vaginal discharge we were seeing means.
Plug for the not kids, but teenage friendly program, Pearl and Thistle.
Yes.
I love that Amazing. Woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She has a whole course for girls.
Yeah.
And then that way you don't turn 25 or 35 and say, ew, I got to like touch my vagina and like stretch stuff out. I mean, it's not you, but
no,
if you're taught it's you.
Yes.
I mean, we were so ignorant. We were like, what do you do with their thermometer? They're like, put it under your tongue.
Yeah.
And then like, didn't want to ask anyone that.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
you know, we are educated people. And then we're like, and then I remember my husband being like, mucus, like from your nose. It's just like,
my husband thought that too.
We're just like, wait, what?
And
of course we always knew we're going to do NFP. That's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. But it's like, we don't need to know about that if we're not married. So it's the fact like
the omission of even the mention of it is, I think, what contributes to us thinking it's bad. You know, it's
gross.
Like, because we're just not going to talk about that thing, even though it's like one of the most easy and obvious and important parts of knowing what your body's doing. We're not going to mention it at all. I remember knowing more about dandruff than, like, you know, like from health class, which is like, just get some Head and Shoulders, you know, that thing is.
It just proves what a lie the pill is, that it's going to let you control when you have a baby. And then when you want a baby, you just have to go off it.
Yes.
And you don't need to know anything else. It's like, it just doesn't work like that.
And that's really not the case. Yeah. I mean, for most people that I have encountered, of course they're coming to me because a lot of times they have an issue. So I don't have the best, like overall number gauge of like how often that happens. But I mean, and of course they wouldn't do a study on it because they don't want to, like the pharmaceutical industry does not.
But it's almost like anecdotal evidence is enough. You don't.
Correlation is that the pill is doing something to somebody somewhere. Yeah.
I've heard that it even can affect how people pick out a spouse.
Totally. Because remember last time we talked about how it like changes your voice, it changes your smell, it changes all these things. So if those functions are being shut down, then there's kind of like a natural element of procreation that's being removed, which some people say could also be
related,
thank you, to the miscarriage issue. So many people are having miscarriages. It's possible that their offspring, I mean, I've had 3 miscarriages, so don't take this lightly, but like that their kids have a genetic issue, that because so many people are on the pill, or the couple themselves were on the pill, their bodies would not have like known, the way that we would have hundreds of years ago.
Right.
So we're using this kind of like theoretical couple that is ready to start trying
back to
come off the pill. Mm-hmm. So 3 to 6 months, things should start evening out. Then we start to talk about cervical discharge. Like, what does that look like? What does it mean? Basically, like the as boiled down as we can make it, is that when your ovaries are producing a follicle, which is the egg, and it's going to, or the egg is within the follicle and it's going to be ovulated, your hormones are acting in a way that your cervical crypts will respond to and produce a kind of mucus.
Okay.
After that happens, so ovulation has passed and that follicle becomes a totally different thing. It becomes what's called a corpus luteum on the ovary. Mm-hmm. That means that, and that corpus luteum is producing progesterone. So your body is responding to progesterone. Your body is going to create a different kind of cervical mucus.
Okay.
There's lots of in between, and different variations, but those two types of mucus are the main kind of sources of all of our information.
Okay. Gluten.
So you'll know when your body is trying to be fertile, like trying to conceive, and when it's not.
Mm.
And that's like, as so simple what, as
it. How do you look at your, like, do you buy a little microscope?
What
do you
do? yeah, that's a great question. That would actually be really, I totally would. I never have. But, no. So basically, the more clear, the more stretchy, the more lubricative your mucus is, the higher your estrogen is, which means the closer you are to ovulation in general. And then the less that the mucus looks clear, stretchy, and lubricative, the further away you are from ovulation.
Nice.
The 3 steps are that you wipe the opening of the vagina from front to back and feel for a sensation, which is either of lubrication or not. I have lots of metaphors for how to do that, but like we do camp every year. I'm a camp counselor and we always have a slip and slide and it's like the closest I have found this metaphor is like, it's the difference between like, well, a dry slip and slide.
Oh,
and then there's like a middle option where there's a slip and slide with water, but then you know the difference when there's a slip and slide with soap.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And water.
That is genius.
Okay, thanks. Because a lot of people who haven't been on a slip and slide in forever are like, I don't know, I can't relate to this. Yeah, so that was the first step, right? Wipe front to back. Then you look at it, at the tissue, see what's there. Is there any mucus present? Even if I can't totally see anything, I'm going to try to finger test it, which means I want the mucus between my thumb and index finger to see how it behaves, which sounds so funny. It's like people are like, you just got me on cervical mucus. Now I have to touch it, I have to look at it, I have to see how it behaves. It has like its own personality. But it really gives us so much information.
I mean,
there's a picture dictionary that you can use. But is the most helpful for men if they can kind of get past the gag reflex, if they have one about this. The picture dictionary is the most, because usually,
men should love to talk about it, vaginas, and look at them.
Right. I know, but not the stuff that comes out of them.
So some people might be surprised that you're bringing up the husband. Like, wait, I thought this was the woman's vagina and the woman's fertility. And I mean, with the pill, the woman's all in charge. So why are you bringing up the guy? I know.
Yes, because, well, there's like a twofold answer to this. Because the first part is that like, nobody can deny that God put this in the hands of women. And there's just, it's not helpful to say like, well, it should be totally shared between the two of you. In a lot of ways, it just can't be.
Right.
Men are always fertile. Women's fertility changes every minute. So it's not super helpful. But I like that direction better because you can only procreate with a man and a woman together. So they have to have some equal sharing of that burden, in a sense, and gift. At some point they they have to do that. And I mean,
it's good communication. It's good bonding,
which is one of the things like in Creighton, the marriage and the relationship comes up a lot. And actually we choose to use the words genital contact instead of just sexual contact, because sexual contact involves yeah. any contact with your spouse. Mm. Genital contact is what needs to be like discussed and talked about mm. and decided upon. Sexual contact is spiritual, physical, intellectual, creative, and emotional, which mm. stands for spice. And there's like a spice Ooh. Aspect of Creighton. I know. Because we want to bolster.
Do you have that on things. A t-shirt?
Yeah. We totally should. Somebody should.
Grace upon grace. Yeah.
Somebody should make a bumper sticker. Well, because the creators of Creighton are husband and wife, and they mm. will give like seminars, and they'll say things like, we have sex 100% of the time. Or we never avoid sexual contact. 100% mm. of the time, we're sexually connected. Because mm. they're husband and wife. Of course they are. They're not always genitally connected. Mm-hmm. Like, you literally can't be at all times. So those are the times. And it also kind of helps break the bubble a little bit of this, like, abstinence mm-hmm. situation. Because mm-hmm. that is just part of life. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, if I do NFP, I have to be absent. I'm like, are you having sex right this minute? Are you surviving?
Great no, question.
It's just the idea that I won't be able to do it anytime I want. And I'm like, well, this is not the only reason that happens. Sometimes yes. your husband will be out of town. Sometimes yes. you'll be sick. Sometimes your kids will be sick. It's really hard. It makes sense in a way. It's really hard to avoid genital contact if you don't feel close in any other way. Mm. So if that's the main, your main course of intimacy with your spouse and you're mm. telling me I can't do that. Mm. Yeah, that would freak me out too. Mm-hmm. But if I'm intentionally seeking to be spiritually close and to communicate well and to talk about the books we're reading, and like, then it's not so much of a cross. Mm. It still is. It's still an offering, but it's not so much of a like detriment to our marriage to mm. not be having sex.
Mm-hmm. I know this is TMI, but how can we not be TMI? Like yeah. I felt like just constant mucus. Mm-hmm. And I told my mm-hmm. Creighton teacher, mm-hmm. I was like, what, how do I chart? And of course it was a postpartum period because I'm always in postpartum or pregnant. So we aren't really the best. That's why Anna's here, because when I'm pregnant, we can just have sex whenever. And yeah. But we don't, because nobody has sex all the time, but we can. Right. And then when I'm postpartum, we chart, but it's always like, what's going on? Because I'm yes. breastfeeding. So yeah. my body wants to ovulate and then it doesn't want to ovulate. Mm-hmm. So it looks like I'm constantly about to ovulate. So yes. we're always just like abstain. Mm-hmm. So she said, well, what is it? Probiotic.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. If you just take like a probiotic, mm-hmm. That could clear it up. And yeah. it totally did.
Yeah.
What? It's amazing. She also told me a story, and she's a nurse. She actually teaches now at Steubenville, but she oh, yeah. said that there was a couple having a hard time getting pregnant. And I think she worked out at Creighton University. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Hilger said, a couple, hey, well, what about Mucinex? You know, because Mucinex does what? Drives it, well, it can drive mucus, but done, I don't know how many IVF treatments. It mm-hmm. spent like $40,000. Mm-hmm. Finally went to Dr. Hilger's, used the Mucinex, and got pregnant that cycle.
Yes.
For a box of over-the-counter meds for $4.
Crazy. And what I think makes it seem like it's too good to be true is that mm. there is no limit to like the sort of shortcuts, quote unquote, shortcuts. Mm. They feel like shortcuts when you're not looking to make more money, mm-hmm. you know? And, it's, mm-hmm. and so it seems, I think too, because we're kind of conditioned to be like, it can't be that simple. Mm. But if a doctor is like genuinely trying to get you well and not so interested in making a fortune, mm. there are a lot of easy things that you can at least try. Like, it's not gonna hurt you to take a probiotic. Mm-hmm. And Mucinex helps to thin out the mucus in your body, right? So if you, mm-hmm. if right now I have a little cold, I should probably take some Mucinex, and it would help kind of drain the mucus from mm-hmm. my mm-hmm. lungs and my chest. Mm-hmm. The same thing happens with the mucus in your cervix. I don't mm-hmm. really know why. A doctor would probably, and a scientist would probably know why, but it does. Mm-hmm. So when people have limited mucus, like mm-hmm. they have too many dry days, that's not enough,
yeah.
then the Mucinex can help draw out the mucus, make it a little bit thinner.
Okay. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was a nurse.
Which is amazing. And I mean, with the probiotic, your vagina has pH and healthy bacteria and all those things mm-hmm. that also need to be balanced. So it makes mm-hmm. sense. Probiotic. Like, mm-hmm. and again, why not try it? It's like, it's good for you anyway.
I know. Yeah. Mucinex isn't as so invasive awesome? As some of these other procedures.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And so tell us about vitamin C. You brought up vitamin C.
Well, okay. Yeah. So vitamin C, if a woman has a lot of excess mucus, sometimes it can mean that she has.
Oh, friends, that's where it ends. We somehow lost the rest of our recording, and I cannot find it anywhere. I believe it's been deleted. So I hope this was helpful, and I have resources for you. Anna has not only been trained and can work with you one-on-one with your charting and your family planning, Anna Grace Schaefer. You can find her on Instagram. I can send you her email. In addition, she knows NFP-minded doctors. You could find an OBGYN, other doctors who are trained in this, and they can work with you via telehealth. Anna can work with you via Zoom or in person if you're in Northeast Ohio. And so I hope it is helpful and you reach out to me if you have more questions and I can connect you with Anna. I'm so sorry we ended there talking about the importance of vitamin C, but I won't speak for her. And I will just end it by saying she's delightful, a wonderful wife and mom, and a very good friend to me. So I hope that we can have her back soon. And again, if you want more information, please contact me and I will give you Anna Grace Schaefer's info. All right, take care. And we have a great interview coming up about children with special needs. So if you have a child with special needs or you would like to have information about being a parent of a child with special needs, make sure you watch for the next episode coming out. This is Lauren, and I'll be back soon.